Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I have on the line with me and on the video, Brother Daniel Seckham, all the way from Australia. Good morning, Daniel. How are you, sir?
Very good.
You're doing very, very good.
Great to be with you again.
Nice to see you. What is it, midnight there today?
It's midnight.
Midnight.
Midnight is still young.
It is young for you. You're a young one, and you could handle that. So, hey, it's great to see you. We're having some friends from New Zealand and Australia tuning into the broadcast, which is really awesome. I don't know if they're friends of yours, how they're hearing, but, I mean, that's so very excellent. And I want to say thank you to everybody out there today that's been sharing. You've been giving to the ministry. We appreciate it so very much. May God bless your giving. Daniel, there's a world in turmoil tonight. Things getting better, things getting worse. What's the outlook from the spiritual perspective?
My gosh, that's an open-ended question. Where do I begin? I mean, it just seems like as each week passes, there's just more and more things going on. Gosh, I suppose we could begin with Israel. So they finally have agreed upon a unity government. In other words, so Benjamin Netanyahu will govern for the next 18 months. And then Benny Gantz will then take on the next 18 months. So
wow.
They were really, really trying, especially the president was trying very hard to avoid a fourth election. So they pulled out all stops. They tried to get both parties to compromise as much as they possibly could in forming a unity government. And it's going to be very interesting. As we know Benjamin Netanyahu, we've seen how he leads, that he is definitely a trusted leader that governs from the right side of the political spectrum. He's all for focusing on security, focusing on economic flourishing, focusing on free markets. He's really very supportive of Christians. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Gantz takes over. So it could be a surprise. We could discover, as the saying goes, better the the devil you know than the devil you don't know.
Mm.
So we don't know. There's a lot about Ben Gantz that we don't know. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 18 months. On other fronts, it just seems that the economic fallout from the coronavirus is continuing on a bit of a scary trajectory. Also, too, we're also noticing that there is a huge disruption within the commodities market, in particular with oil. Oil prices have absolutely plummeted. And in Texas, they are even in negative values now. So interesting. Now, keep in mind, all this is value is on paper. In reality, per barrel, it's still in reality is about, you know, $25 a barrel. But the thing is that this could really spiral even further out of control. So we need to keep our eyes on that. So it really, the entire world is really sitting on a powder keg at the moment. There are so many different variables that could go wrong. And I've just learned from Fox News, have just said that Trump says that he's instructed the Navy to destroy any Iranian gunboats harassing U.S. ships. Now, you can just imagine that if that actually did happen, and I would say it probably very could happen, that if Trump, if a U.S. destroyer obliterates one of those gunboats, it could again set the region on track for another conflict, possibly. So there's that. And then, of course, there's the big one with the growing belligerence of China. China really is the major threat, I believe, in this current period that we're in at the moment. I mean, there is China really, and this is the thing, when the virus first broke out, China did everything that they possibly could to prevent the virus from spreading to other parts of China. So they basically quarantined the entire city of Wuhan, and they stopped people from traveling to anywhere to any of the other parts of China. And that's why China as a whole is doing relatively okay, because it was mainly Wuhan that was affected. Now, they were completely okay with sending people out of Wuhan International Airport to all over the world. They were fine with that, but they weren't fine with sending, you know, travelers to other parts of China. So basically, Xi's strategy was that if we're going to cop it economically because of this outbreak, then the rest of the world might as well cop it too. So we're not going to be set back economically because of our blunder. We'll ensure everybody else cops it as well if we're going to cop it. That was their attitude. And I just think that really gives you a bit of an insight into just how insidious this regime is. And here's where it gets worse. The fact that the World Health Organization, to peddle the narrative that the virus wasn't transmittable between humans. So there was a lot early on back in January, there was a lot of misinformation coming from the Chinese Communist Party that was relayed by the World Health Organization. And Trump is absolutely correct to say that WHO, or the World Health Organization, is China-centric. They are absolutely China-centric. And if you want to have a bit of an idea of just how corrupt the United Nations is, then look no further to the appointing of China on the Human Rights Council. That gives you a bit of an idea of just how rotten to the core the United Nations is. They really are a joke. They are UN productive and ineffective. Now, it's not just the UN, it's also their subsidiary organizations. We've just discussed the corruption of WHO, of the World Health Organization, but there's many other subsidiary organizations, in particularly the UN RNA, I believe. I'm not sure if I've got the acronym correct, but this is the UN organization that is based in the West Bank and also in the Gaza Strip, which is basically set up for the well-being of the Palestinians. And they are, in fact, if you remember during Operation Protective Edge, they basically housed Hamas fighters and basically used their own premises to stockpile Hamas's weapons. That, again, so they are utterly corrupt. And then, of course, there is the IPCC. This is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. They are corrupt to the core. They are not a scientific organization. They are a political organization. And they have caused massive problems on the world stage with their disinformation in regard to climate change, the climate change hoax. It's just, they are from the very start. I mean, they were the architect who basically drew up the plans for the United Nations, which was, before that, it was known as the League of Nations. The architects who drew up the plans, who basically drew up the constitution or the charter for the UN, they were socialists. So the whole thing has had a globalist agenda from the very beginning. And we're only just seeing it become more and more of a threat to national sovereignty. They are a threat to national sovereignty. They are a threat to any nation that wants to dig itself out of poverty and wants to focus on free markets and encouraging capitalism. And, they are a major threat. And make no mistake, there is also a depopulation agenda. You might have noticed there are a number of celebrities and talking heads and who are parroting the UN narrative that the world is overpopulated. And, these are not good people. They are rotten and corrupt to the very core. And President Trump is absolutely right in withholding funding from the World Health Organization. He's also right in defunding the UN. They are, and by the way, did you notice that months ago when the UN went into overdrive about this climate emergency, that was timed when Trump pulled the pin on their funding. So basically, the climate emergency was basically a funding drive for them, trying to get the nations into a panic in giving them money because of this so-called climate emergency. They are not to be trusted. They are, they are absolutely wicked to the core. And really, they are run by two power blocks. They are run by the communist power bloc, and they are run by the Islamic power bloc, which is known as the OIC, in other words, the Organization of Islamic Conference. So they are basically in those two power blocks. The UN basically is they go along with whatever they say, and so it's really interesting. We've talked on previous broadcasts, Vincent, where we talk about the spheres of the Islam versus the left, Islam and the left, and how they work hand in glove. There's a very clear picture of those two entities within the United Nations themselves. And they balance off each other. And they have two common enemies. I think this is really interesting. Two nations that are their biggest enemies. And that is the United States and Israel. The United States and Israel. And that's really, really important. In fact, the Shiite Muslims basically refer to that, to those two entities, as the big Satan and the little Satan, as in the big Satan being the USA and the little Satan representing Israel. But the thing is that they all hate Israel. They hate Israel for a whole bunch of different reasons. I mean, the communist bloc hate Israel for different reasons, for the Islamist bloc hate Israel. But we all know it's a satanic agenda. Satan is right behind this, because Satan hates the apple of his eye. Satan hates that which God's affection is upon, and that's the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. He hates it, and this is why we see this satanic agenda coming up. Now, this is why anti-Semitism is the oldest of all forms of hatred and racism, going all the way back to Pharaoh, who threw the Hebrew boys into the Nile River. So it appears on and on and on throughout history, and from Pharaoh to Haman to Herod to Muhammad to Hitler. It is a very, very sorry story where the rage of Satan wants to destroy the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have to understand this is a spiritual war. You know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers. And this is what is actually, you know, going on at the moment. So getting back to the United Nations, they kowtow to those two power blocks, the communist socialist power block and the Islamist power block. And it shouldn't surprise us that they have put some of the world's worst offenders in regard to human rights onto the Human Rights Council. I mean, you just cannot make this stuff up. But this is just how corrupt they are. And the thing is that we just heard this week that the celebrities, including Lady Gaga, were doing this big fundraising drive and raising money for the World Health Organization.
Wow. Incredible. All right. Yeah, it is amazing. What a great commentary already beginning this morning, saying hello to our friends on Facebook and YouTube. And Daniel, it seems like the two main themes that you just talked about, number one is corruption going on all over the world. And when it came to Yeshua, Jesus being murdered and crucified, we remember Pilate and Herod came together. They were enemies, but they found a common enemy between them, and they joined forces, right? And then they, crucified Christ. But my question is simply this. We think about America and Israel, and we'd like to think that, you know, a generation ago, we are the good guys. We're the good guys. You know, a generation ago, we don't kill innocent babies. A generation ago, we don't have marching parties throughout the United States with homosexuals and lesbians and transgender people, promoting the shame of that kind of a lifestyle. We don't have, you know, the rampant pornography. We don't have islands owned by multi-billionaires that are called, pedophile island. We don't have the level of corruption. So within our own government, we have a corrupt influence, a massive corrupt influence within our country that's spreading into every fabric of our society. So where does anybody, other than the quote-unquote Christian church, which is supposed to be the moral compass of the nation and the shining light on a hill and the salt of the earth, where do you find the innocence any longer where somebody could point a finger at someone else in this atmosphere?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great, great question. Here's the thing. We talked in previous episodes where we actually talked about how the church is the voice of conscience is basically the voice of conscience. And and this is something I think it might have been Martin Luther King Jr. that actually said it. He says that the church is the conscience of society. And he's right in saying that. And we've mentioned in previous episodes where there is this, sequence of events in regard to the Olivet Discourse that Jesus talked about, and how it begins with deception. He said, watch out that no one deceives you. And deception links up with the false teachers, and the false teachers come in. And basically, the false teachers lead to the great apostasy, the great falling away. There's a great falling away because of all the false teaching that's gone into the church. And the great falling away is really important in understanding, because when the great falling away happens, the church basically retreats from society. It retreats from society. The church effectively loses its voice from society. And as we discussed previously, when the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. Okay. And when the world loses its conscience, it doesn't have any moral framework anymore. It doesn't have any objective understanding of what is morally right and wrong. So it basically falls headlong into whatever makes it happy. Remember what it says in Judges: in those days there was no king and everyone did as they saw fit. You know, this is the time that we are living in right now. There is no moral standard. You know, what's right for you is not necessarily right for me, and what's right for me is not necessarily right for you. We're living in this incredible time of moral relativism, and we're going by a herd morality where the herd, the majority, I also call it the majority morality, the morality of the majority. You know, so whatever the majority says is right and wrong is what is the morality of society. In other words, this is exactly what political correctness is. The herd morality is political correctness, and political correctness is herd morality. In fact, in other words, you know, our society is working overtime to destroy the moral foundations that have been given to it by Christianity. You know, Christianity is what has given us our moral understanding of what's right and wrong. And our universities, especially our universities, have worked overtime and completely dismantled that moral framework. And what are they replacing it with? Well, they're replacing it with political correctness. That's exactly what political correctness is. Political correctness is the new moral code for a society that has rejected God. That is exactly what it is. And going back to what I was saying before with the sequence of events, with what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. So when the world loses its conscience, it just goes headlong into sin. It just unthrottled sin, unbridled depravity. This is exactly where our society is at the moment. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And this is exactly what we're seeing. Like wickedness, like you just wouldn't believe it if somebody had told you 10 years ago.
Right.
And yet we're seeing just taking evil that is not just accepted, but celebrated and promoted.
Yeah.
Incredible. By the way, this is just this is news. The latest news has come out by NBC. Opposition to Samaritan's Purse Central Park Field Hospital grows.
Mm-hmm.
Opposition to that is growing. Why is that growing? Because they have a problem with the founder of Samaritan's Purse, which is basically Franklin Graham, who is the son of the famed evangelist Billy Graham. Because of his position, which is the position of Christianity, biblical Christianity, we're not talking about apostates, we're talking about real Christianity, who have the position that marriage is between a man and a woman, that men are men and women are women, and that men and women come together in holy matrimony and are complementary to each other. That is an anathema to our current society, to our culture.
That's amazing.
And because of that, this is why there is this opposition. These people who are up in arms about the Samaritan's Purse, Central Park Field Hospital. It's just extraordinary. Now, I want to read to you what Lyle Shelton, who was the former head of the Australian Christian Lobby here in Australia, Lyle Shelton said that, he said, this is getting pernicious. He says, the rainbow activists and politicians have been attacking Graham from the get-go. I've seen this same irrational hatred of Christians in our politics. If it is not checked, we will eventually be driven out of society. Think about that.
Yeah.
This is where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
So again, let's get back to this sequence, okay? So the increase of wickedness leads to the next thing, which is when Jesus said, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. That's Matthew, but in Luke it says, and you'll be hated by everyone because of me. You know, and so hatred is going to grow, going to become more. You know, listen, this current cultural divide that we're seeing, this chasm, this cultural division that we're seeing going on between the left and the right in our culture. And I've said this for the past 3 years. I believe that this political divide, this cultural divide, is only going to exacerbate and become more and more intense and more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why is that? Because the people on the left, and keep in mind, the leftist ideology is basically based on rebellion against God. The left hate God and they hate his followers. And so, you know, and really it's because their consciences are raging. See, whenever they hear anything about a Christian or they hear anything about the Christianity or anything about the church, their conscience is pricked and they hate it. And they would do anything and everything to suppress that. This is, you know, I mean, this is not news to us because, you know, in John chapter 3, Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world and darkness hates the light for fear that its deeds will be exposed. This is the whole reason. You know, George Orwell, I mean, he pretty much got this from the Bible. He didn't, this is not, you know, a new revelation. Mm-hmm. But George Orwell said that the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. He is 100% correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is where we're at. Mm-hmm. So the hatred leads to the next thing, which is persecution. But here's the good news, and this is the good news, and that's thank God for good news in this context. But the good news is that the persecution leads to the next thing that Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse when he said, and this gospel shall be preached unto all nations and then the end will come. Okay? And this gospel shall be preached unto all nations and then the end will come. Why? Why is the gospel going to be preached unto all nations? Because of persecution. The persecution is going to drive comfortable Christians out of their comfort zones and onto the mission field. They will be fleeing. I mean, the persecution is going to be that great. Remember what Jesus said. There will be no other time like it. It's going to be a time of great sorrow. The time of sorrows, Jesus said. There will be no other time like it ahead and no other time like it before. It will just be a time of great tribulation. And But this tribulation is going to trigger the last monumental evangelistic effort that will reach the ends of the earth, and then the end will come.
Mm. You know, Daniel, around the world right now, especially here in the United States, the big cry is, please bring our sports back. Please bring our jobs back. Please open the stores, open business. We need to get back to work. And yet the cry of the bride of Jesus Christ and the Spirit is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We don't want this just to go back and then continue for another 100 years. You know, we are living in a climate right now that is so biblically packed and explosive with the fulfillment of God's word. We all, God's people, should be, you know, yes, the winning of souls. Yes, you know, the glory of God, absolutely. But don't we want the King to come? And isn't this the environment right now that is being precipitated all over the world, that this is an environment he could actually step into? But we've got to get through some things in our thinking as Christian men and women, don't we? I mean, things like, you know, I'm hearing today from Dutch Sheets. I think a lot of people know the prophetic words of Dutch Sheets, and he runs with Peter Wagner, Chuck Pierce, and a big, you know, network of people out there.
And their prophecies are basically everything is going to be all right. Everything is coming back to normal. Everything is going to be fine. Then you hear from Sadhu Sundahar in his prophetic network with all the other people that he's connected to. This time next year, there'll be another virus 10 times worse than what's happening right now, and it will have a sting like a hornet. So he's bringing out these. So what you find is this divide is not only in politics, it's not only in government, it's not only in the world of nations, but it's in the house of God as well. And, you know, I like the idea of balance, you know, a million souls being saved supposedly in the last several months at home while people are listening to broadcasts like these. We love that idea where people are getting born again. Families are coming closer together. The church has an opportunity to really work while there's daylight because the nighttime comes. The wise virgins are getting their oil. But really, this is not a time to just say, let's go back to work. Let's get sports going again. Let's, you know, get, as the mayor of New York just said, de Blasio, you know, let's get the concerts going and the street venues going. Everybody wants to ramp it up, but I'm not so sure that's what God is saying. In fact, I believe what God is saying is that there will be three new waves. The next one coming is going to be the anarchy that accompanies food shortages. There are food companies shutting down in South Dakota right now. The pork industry in America is being obliterated. So there are a lot of things that are happening, and the price of food will go up and the quality of food will diminish. And so I don't see things going the way that our, you know, prognosticators want them to go through their propaganda and their optimism. I don't think this is a time that we need optimism as much as we need repentance and confession and truth to guide our nation. And the truth that I hear and the truth that I see in the Word of God, four sword judgments that are going to bring a phase of judgment to this nation to break it of its pride and its resistance and its rebellion against God Almighty. I don't care if they call it a democracy, a republic, or whatever they want to call it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And who do we think we are that we could shed the blood of innocent babies and offend God and blaspheme him and then just want to go back to work? I'm having a real problem with that. But a lot of people out there, the, you know, the prosperity prophets and the people that believe in it's all well in America, well, it's not all well. And when they were saying it was all well a year ago, it's not all well. So, Daniel, speak into that at some pace.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of what we're seeing going on at the moment is, in a sense, I think it's a bit of a dress rehearsal. I think that God, in his mercy, is trying to get his people to wake up and trying to get his people to say, okay, well, this is a tremor, but there is a gigantic shaking that's coming. Now, you need to be able to adjust preparations and to basically get your life in order and prepared for the great shaking that's coming. You know, I mean, this is a little tremor, but it's nothing compared to the great shaking. Okay. And this is, I think God in his grace is trying to get his church to wake up. You know, well, I mean, we've had some, the previous 3 years economically have been fantastic. And it really kind of too, it kind of reminds me of the story of Joseph, how they had 7 years of great prosperity. But that was to prepare themselves for the 7 years of great famine, you know. And so I think we need to, while things are still moderately in the sense that you can still go to the grocery store and you can still buy food is fantastic, because I think this is a dress rehearsal, and God is basically saying, okay, well, there is a great shaking coming, and we know that's true. We know it's coming. I mean, the signs are all there. And let's get back to the Olivet Discourse. And this is, see, a lot of people say, you know, well, we've had earthquakes. You know, there's been times throughout history where Christians have been persecuted. You know, we've had, in communist countries, the children dobbing their parents and the parents dobbing their children. And we've seen all that kind of snitching going on in previous times. And we've seen all the other different signs. We've seen increase of wickedness in different societies. We've seen all that. So, you know, why do we believe that we're in the end times now? Because of four words that Jesus said. Five words. When you see all these things. Sorry, six words. I can't.
It's late. It's late.
Come on, man. It's 12:30. Okay. When Jesus said those six words, when you see all these things, you know that the time is near. That is key, okay? When you see all these things, and this is exactly what we're seeing happening at the moment, okay? One of the things that in Luke you see pestilence, okay? My gosh, the Africa is being ravaged at the moment by a massive locust plague. Okay, and then we have the pestilence in regard to the COVID-19, okay, and there is just the earthquakes that we've seen happening all over the place. So these things are really happening big time at the moment. There are other places around the world where there is famine going on right now. But, you know, there's famine going on in the third world, but I believe there's going to be famine happening in the first world as well. I mean, what you were just saying earlier, Vincent, in regard to a lot of the different aspects of the food industry that are really struggling to cope, they've been taking a hit. And, you know, we could see, you know, don't think because you live in the West that you live in a first world nation that you're going to be able to escape, trouble. You know, I think a lot of the people in the West are going to get a massive, massive rude awakening. They're going to get a wake-up call when they realize that they're going to experience hardship in the same way that many of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ have experienced hardship in the Middle East and experienced hardship in places like Nigeria. I mean, you think that the left is going to be nice to us Christians? Let me tell you, they think that Franklin Graham is an absolute, they think he's evil. They think the son of Billy Graham is morally evil because he believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. So think about that, okay? And now here's the thing. At the moment, the left demonizing us, okay? And this is one of the fundamental differences between the right and the left. See, we think that the left are wrong, and we think they're the misguided, okay? But here's the thing. The left think that anyone who opposes their ideology or their worldview, they believe they are evil, okay? So that we are going to go from the left demonizing us to the left dehumanizing us. They are basically going to transition along that line, okay? And this is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. And by the way, Nazi Germany was famous for its Christian theologians. It was a Christian nation. You know, all these line of prestigious theologians that came through Germany, from Luther to Bach to all these great Christian thinkers, and not just that, but also the contribution to cultural Christianity through Mozart and, you know, all these great Christian things that came out of Germany. And yet, you know, if you would have said to the Germans in the 1920s, what would happen within 20 years, 15 years, they would have said to you, well, that's impossible. That couldn't happen here. This is Christian Germany. Christian Germany, that would never happen here. And this is a lesson for us here living in the West. If what happened with Hitler and the Nazis, and with the ideology and the brainwashing and the propaganda and the Holocaust and the concentration camps, if that could happen to Christian Germany, then don't fool yourself to think that that cannot happen to Christian America.
Amen to that, Daniel. Absolutely. That's a great point. And as you're speaking, I think it's important with some of the thoughts that you just brought up to remember. Since the spring of 2014, the events that have gone on in the United States, you talked about people waking up. Well, you remember in 2014 during Passover, there was a blood red moon. And then during 2014 Tabernacles, there was another blood red moon. And then in 2015 during Passover, a third blood red moon. And then during Tabernacles 2015, a fourth blood red moon, creating a tetrad, along with a solar eclipse in September of 2017, a constellation in the heavens, the Revelation 12 constellation. At that time, the release of Isis. Then we saw the massive fires like we've never seen before, massive flooding, massive hurricanes, three of them back to back in one particular year, in 2018, I think it was, massive tornadoes, volcanic eruptions. I mean, we have seen so much, and now we're looking at an economic disturbance, the loss of businesses, and we're seeing that the viruses have just killed. They're saying, they're putting these numbers out there in America, over 43,000 people have been killed. But then I go back to Leviticus chapter 26, and this is what I'm seeing in agreement with what you're saying. In 26:15, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, and we seem to do that, so that you will not do all my commandments, but you break my covenant. And I know we're in a new covenant, okay? I understand that, but we need to learn why these things are going on. He says, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heavens as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle. We saw what happened in Nebraska and in South Dakota a couple years ago, when there millions of cattle were killed, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. They seem to be pretty desolate today. I think something more is coming. If you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. That's really weird when people have just been turned over. Go to your house, wash your hands, shut your door, stay indoors. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall take, will bake your bread in one oven. They shall deliver your bread again by weight. You shall eat, not be satisfied. That's talking about famine and hunger. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images. Look at the images that have been cut down. And your cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. All the churches are shut down, and I will not, not all, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Daniel, I am seeing this is God's word trying to wake up a nation. He's referring to Israel, his own people, if they will not repent. My God, it seems like this is happening, and we're just seeing the preview and the four winds of what's really going to happen in this country when we go to war, and we live in a nuclear age and a dirty bomb age, and I don't think people are really considering how far, as you were just saying earlier, how far-reaching this time of judgment, this phase of judgment that we have just stepped into with the first wave, three more waves coming. It's going to be hard to recognize by November during the election cycle
what this country is going to look like. Your thoughts?
America is sitting under a Damocles sword. And you need to get that picture in your head. What is the sword of Damocles, if I'm saying it correctly?
The sword of Damocles, which was an old Italian playwright, right? And then John F. Kennedy said the nuclear sword of Damocles is hanging over the nation. Go ahead.
That's correct. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So basically, there's a sword that is basically only – that is suspended over someone that's only held up by a horse's hair. And America is just sitting on this – is in such a precarious state. And here's – people need to understand this. See, America's military dominance means – freedom for the rest of the world. But China's military dominance, and this could happen within the next 10 years, China's military dominance will mean slavery for the rest of the world. You need to think about that, and that this is a scary prospect. And it's, you try and reason with the left, and the left will try and say, no, America is colonialist, America is an oppressor, America has got its own interests in it. Wages war and it rapes and pillages other nations. It's a load of rubbish. America has been the beacon of freedom. You will find no other nation that will go and fight for other countries that are being threatened by communist nations. Look at what America did for the South Koreans. I mean, worst colonialists ever. I mean, America has held the beacon of freedom in trying to thwart back the insidious communist ideology, which really communism / Marxism / socialism / leftism equals political Satanism. That's exactly what it is. It enslaves, it kills, it pillages, it brings people into a state of irreversible suffering. Anyone who's lived under communism will tell you that it is the epitome of suffering. Read The Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, just to give a bit of an idea just how satanic communism is. And really, communism is the very foundation of communism. Is actually atheism. It is a world without God. And if communist China ever gets itself into a position where she becomes the superpower and America fades away, the rest of the world is in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. You are actually going to go from a free world where there is pockets of slavery to a world that is completely inverted the other way around, where the majority of the world will be in slavery and where there will be pockets of freedom, you know, outposts of resistance, pockets of freedom, you know.
Goshen's maybe.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly the world that you would see under communist China. You do not want this. And this is why Christians everywhere need to support President Trump. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, the guy is not perfect and he says some dumb stuff, but please understand this, okay? The media has been completely captured by the left. And this didn't happen overnight, but over the past 3-4 decades, the media have been completely dominated by the left. You know, even Fox News to a certain extent has been captured by the left, even though they try to appear neutral and be neutral. And thank God for Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and those guys. But the media have been captured by the left. And here's the thing that people need to understand about the media. You know, they did some research in regard to the media's coverage of Trump in 2017. And they discovered that 91% of their coverage of President Trump was negative. 91% of their coverage of President Trump was negative. Now, here's the next stat, and this will floor you. 96% of the media representation of the media donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign. 96%. Okay. Now, if that doesn't emphasize to you that you are dealing with a partisan, shamelessly biased, basically an extension, a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, I mean, you are disconnected from reality. Trump was right to call them the enemy of the people, because they are. They are the enemy of the free world. They only have the leftist objectives in mind. And this is why they are extremely dangerous, and you really need to do whatever you possibly can to stand up for Trump and to, you know, again, he's not perfect, okay? He says something that rubbed me the wrong way, but listen, you know, you need to support him as much as you possibly can. And listen, there are some Christians out there at the moment that are trying to discourage Christians from getting involved in political matters. This is not of God, okay? God has nothing to do with that, okay? Christians need to be salt and light, okay? Salt prevents things from falling into decay. Light exposes the darkness. We need to be both those things, especially in the realm of politics. Okay, Christians have every right to take a stand for their country and to do what they can to prevent. You know, I mean, you're not going to be able to bring about to reverse what God has ordained. Okay, but remember what Jesus said: strengthen that which remains. Strengthen that which remains. What remains, you need to strengthen, and you need to do everything of what you can to do that. Because at the end of the day, listen, if you truly, if you love your neighbor, then it means that you are going to do what you can to influence political processes to ensure that you get rid of all these pro-choice, pro-abortion, baby murdering laws, because this is what's bringing on the judgment of God, okay? You need to do what you can to ensure that school children are not being brainwashed by LGBT rainbow indoctrination and propaganda. See, we have a right as Christians to take a stand for righteousness. What does Proverbs say? It says that righteousness exalts a nation. Amen. You know, it's not make America great again. It's make America godly again. Make America moral again. Because when America becomes godly, when America repents, that is when God will make her great again. The mm-hmm. emphasis is on repentance. You know, let's go to the second half of that verse. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any peoples. Mm-hmm. And if America indulges herself in sin, then listen, there is a you will sow the wind and you will reap a whirlwind.
Yeah, and Daniel, it's what you're saying right now is in New York, you know, Franklin Graham wanting to help, and yet the LGBTQ community,
yeah.
Contrary to that, the LGBTQ community in Minnesota wanting to put up the rainbow color flag in a third grade classroom. Abortions are still being practiced. Homosexual marriages are still going forward. Pornography is still rampant. Corruption, lies, deception are everywhere. And so right now, 200 million Americans who are stuck at home should be writing letters to their congressmen, their senators, their local authority, the federal government, and yeah. writing letters and begging for the Supreme Court to overthrow Roe versus show some fruits of repentance. And I want to ask you this question. I'm going to go out with this, and I've got a call coming in here. We've only got 5 minutes left. Two dreams. One dream coming from one part of the prophetic community, Trump is going to win the election in November. He wins. That's somebody had a dream. Another dream on the other side, Joe Biden, this was 8 months ago, Joe Biden wins the election, but he's nervous. So by all means, in the United States, Donald J. Trump should win the election.
If Joe Biden wins the election, and who knows what the climate will look like in November by the time we get there, what kind of anarchy and what kind of criminal behavior will hit the United States up to that time, only God knows. But if Joe Biden wins, and I don't want to speculate so much, but I want to ask you from your heartfelt condition right now, what happens if Joe Biden wins the election under whatever extreme cases may exist around that?
I believe that Joe Biden will be the perfect puppet for the deep state. He would be the perfect person that can be manipulated. And he is, oh my gosh.
It's a bad deal, isn't it?
This is the same man that said about China. He said, they're not bad guys, you know, and his son was making millions of money from the Chinese government. And this is why I am so concerned about the state of the media's hold. The media has so much incredible sway over the American people, and this is why they are relentless. It's almost like they're power drunk. They are drunk with power. They know that they can tell people what to think, and they are drunk with that kind of power, you know. And this is what I think it was. I'm just trying to remember who said it. One of the is a female anchor. It was on the morning, you know, the Morning Joe show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Part of it's like MSNBC type of deal.
MSNBC, yeah. And she basically says, I don't know if it's a Freudian slip or not, but she said, you know, we basically get to tell what people think. And this is what, you know, Orwell warned about this, you know, when we get to the stage where this is the ministry of truth, you know, where basically the people believe what the talking heads on TV tell them to believe. What a sorry state of affairs that we are living in. But this shouldn't surprise us. Remember what Jesus said. The very first thing that Jesus said that would happen when the disciples said, when is all this going to happen, Jesus? The first thing, watch out that no one deceives you. In other words, Jesus was saying that in the end times, in the last days, he said that the deception will be that great. You know, basically what Jesus was saying is that the society of the end days will be swimming in deception. They will be saturated. They will be absolutely marinating in deception. Deception right. will be the order of the day. Yeah, and this is exactly where we find ourselves. It's sobering times. Orwell had another interesting quote too. He said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Right. Hey, Daniel, very, very good. This has been an awesome, awesome time together. I got a call coming in that's been waiting around. So let me take the call and say good morning to area code 479-855. You are on the air. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Daniel?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Daniel-san.
Good morning.
I know time is short, so let me get into this real quick. I just saw a headline news over here, and it says New York State instructs paramedics not to revive cardiac patients amid the coronavirus report. It goes a little further and says New York State issued a blanket do not resuscitate directive last week instructing first responders not to try to revive patients without a pulse amid the increased volumes and lack of resources during the coronavirus public health crisis. It sounds like Cuomo has decided to become God. He did it with the abortion issue, killing all newborn infants if the parents wanted them to be to die and that they did not want the child. And now he's doing the same thing with any patient in New York State there that has a heart attack. How far can he go before people finally realize what is going on and that they're being fooled by all of these headlines that are going on about the virus? I leave the comments up to you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Ken. Daniel, go ahead.
Oh, gosh. Again, you know, there's a lot of agendas out there, you know, and the thing is the left never waste a crisis. They will never waste a crisis. They will do whatever they can, and to turn, basically to turn the whole crisis in their favor, which means civil liberties are under threat.
Right.
And this is exactly what we're seeing going on right now.
Amen. Daniel Seckham, we're down to 5 seconds here. I've got to say goodbye to you right now in Australia. Get yourself some good rest. Outstanding work. God bless you. People, make sure you get to Daniel Seckham. You'll find him online. Support his ministry. Get behind him. The launch has got to come when the doors are open once again for his mantle and his mission to bring truth and enlightenment. It's important that you get behind Daniel, support him. Thank everybody for supporting this ministry as well. We're going to say goodbye. In 1 hour, I'm going to be on Kerm Radio, and I'm going to be interviewing a young man, Ian. It's going to be an amazing story as well. People like Daniel being raised up everywhere. I don't know if the devil has a chance. He's going to do the best he can to skirt around issues. But Daniel, God bless you, my friend. Thank you for shining the light of truth for everybody out there today. Shalom. God bless. Right now on the OmegaRadio.org, there's a 24-hour, 7 days a week internet radio station. We want to welcome you to go there right now. That's OmegaRadio.org. And here is a message from Patricia Joy Xavier. God bless everybody. Shalom.